let's continue to part two. The last part here of John 8. Who's your daddy? You get the reference with Darth Vader up there? The Star Wars, where Luke is surprised to learn that Darth Vader is his daddy. I'm sure that these religious folks were pretty surprised to learn that the Lord said their father was the evil one. So let's continue in verse 48 as we read. The Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. The leaders could not refute the truth of our Lord. So what did they do? They do what those who cannot refute truth always do. They turn to personal attacks. There were a couple of personal attacks in our passage today. Back in verse 41, did you catch that little slam on Jesus? When they said, "We were not born of fornication," what do you think they were doing? All his life, the gossip about Jesus and who his father was followed him. Remember? He was a virgin birth, and most people rejected that. Most people whispered about his mother being immoral and that he was not really Joseph's son. He was illegitimate. Or if he was Joseph's son, he was conceived before they were married. And so he was conceived in fornication. They were insulting Jesus. Did you notice that Jesus didn't even respond to that? He just let it go. And then, look at verse 48. The personal attack is very obvious, isn't it? "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" That is astounding to me as an insult. If you're going to insult someone, wouldn't you think that the worst insult would be you're demon-possessed? But that wasn't the worst insult. They didn't list it first. Instead, their racism came out. "You're a Samaritan. You're a half-breed. You're only partly Jewish." Not so. But they threw the racial insult out there. Oh, and you also have a demon. Look at that. Is that not incredible to you? Now, why was the racial insult more severe for these guys and listed first rather than the demon thing? Did you note who's being influenced by demons here? It's the accuser. You will also note about those with false religion, they will gloss over their own sin where it's not as bad. And point out something else in another person, but ignore what's going on with them. Jesus didn't even respond to the racial slur either, just like when they slammed his birth. He just noted what they were doing. They were dishonoring him while he was honoring the Father. You see, they were seeking their own glory while Jesus was seeking the glory of God. Something else you will note about people who have got a lot of religion but know Jesus. A tradition-centered religion. A religion that is without Christ will often become a mutual admiration society where people do religious acts and they stand around in a circle patting each other on the back and congratulating themselves about all the good things that they do. We are to do good works. As a follower of God, we're commanded to do those things. The question is, can you do good works and not have the Lord in your life? Absolutely, you can. Can you have the Lord in your life and not do good works? No, you cannot. So what did Jesus do? Jesus warned these men that they were going to die in their sin because of their unbelief. And he was inviting them to trust in his word, because if you will trust in Jesus, you will never see death. And he's not talking about death of the body. He's talking about death of the soul. But once again, these leaders, they had not the spiritual insight to recognize and understand what Jesus was saying. And so they go back in their mind and they go, well, Abraham was righteous and he died. Are you more righteous than he? Probably convinced them even more that Jesus had a demon, because they just weren't even on the level he was on. Did you see what Jesus did? Jesus is not only the Lord of the living, he is also the Lord of the dead. And if he's the Lord of the dead, then he is the Lord. And he is making no bones about it in this passage. He is claiming completely that he is God come in the flesh. And then Jesus goes on to say that Abraham, who died thousands of years before, that Abraham, their forefather, saw Jesus. And they just staggered back. What do you mean, Abraham saw you, Jesus? You get what Jesus is saying? How did Abraham see Jesus? So did God just supernaturally transport at some point, Abraham have a vision, and God supernaturally transport Abraham all the way up through time to the time of Jesus so that he could see Jesus? No, the Bible doesn't say anything like that. How did Abraham see Jesus? Well, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 11 that Abraham saw the city of God, the New Jerusalem, and how did he see it? By faith. He knew that one day that city was coming. Okay, well, that's heaven. So, preacher, how did Abraham see Jesus? Did Abraham witness a miraculous birth? He did. He saw the promise of God, the fulfillment of the covenant God had made with him, and the miraculous birth of his own son, Isaac. How old was Sarah when she gave birth? Anyone? How old was she? 90. That's a miracle. He knew about a miraculous birth. Well, how in the world would Abraham have seen Christ's sacrifice on the cross? Genesis 22, when God said, offer up your only son, Isaac. 5 times God said in that passage of Genesis 22, he's your only son. Use the word only 5 times. Are you willing to give him up? And then, of course, God spared Isaac. But do you see? Abraham saw that day. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, God provided the acceptable sacrifice for their sin. He knew that was coming, and it would be God's Son. I believe in the priestly ministry of Melchizedek in Genesis 14 that Abraham got a glimpse that Christ is our priest, the mediator between man and God. And I suppose even then in the marriage of his son Isaac in Genesis 24, Abraham understood the one day marriage of the Lamb that would come. And then we come to verse 58, where the Bible says, before Abraham came into being, I am. Jesus made no mistake when he claimed to be God's son. So why couldn't they come? Again, the most difficult people to win to the Savior are those who do not realize they have a need. I heard an old preacher say one time that you got to be lost before you can be saved. You ever heard of this guy? Ben Hooper. He's a well-known man from Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Seminary professor at Phillips University. A man named Fred Craddock was on vacation one year in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And he and his wife, this was a few decades back, they wanted to get away and have a quiet dinner to themselves on this little short vacation. How many of you have been to Gatlinburg, Tennessee? Gatlinburg's kind of a tourist area. It's up in the Smoky Mountains. Real pretty, real nice, okay? And lots of little quaint restaurants. So Fred Craddock and his wife, they got away from the rigors of teaching in seminary, and they were having this quiet, nice, romantic dinner in this little restaurant. And they noticed that there was this older, white-haired man who was going table to table, and he was full of life and joy and bubbly, and he was going up, and he was shaking people's hands, and then he would sit down at the table with these people as if uninvited and just sit down and talk to them a few minutes and get up, and Fred's... said, I was thinking to myself, oh no, I just want to have a quiet dinner with my wife. And he said, please, please stay away. But he circulated around the room, and this man came up and comes up to Fred's table and goes, where are you folks from? With his East Tennessee mountain accent. And Fred said, Oklahoma. The man said, splendid state. Well, I hear that. I've never actually been to Oklahoma. What do you do for a living? And Fred said, I teach homiletics to graduate students at Phillips University. And the old fella said, oh, so you teach preachers, huh? Well, I've got a preacher story for you. And he pulls up a chair and sits down. And I relate to what Fred Craddock wrote about this, because everybody has a preacher story. And when you're a preacher, you hear them all right? And so the man pulls up this chair, and Fred Craddock's just groaning inside. Oh, no, another preacher story. Well, the old man stuck his hand out and said, hi, I'm Ben Hooper. I was born just over the mountain. And I want you to know that when I was born, my mama was not married. And so if you can remember back 75 years ago or so, at that time, if you know anything about that time, if you were born and your mama wasn't married, you had a hard time. And he said, when I started to school, my classmates had a special name for me, and it's one I don't want to repeat because it was pretty ugly. And because of that, all through elementary school, at recess, I was off by myself. Every day at lunch, I sat at a table by myself because all my other classmates made fun of me and called me names. And then the old man went on to say, and what was worse than that, though, was when Sunday came. Because on Sunday, my mama made me go to church. And when I went downtown and entered that church, I thought every eye in the room was burning a hole in me. And I could see them all just wondering who my daddy really is. Well, when I was about 12 years old, a new preacher came to our little church. Now, every Sunday when I go to church, I'd always slip in late and slide out early. But one day, the preacher said the benediction so fast I couldn't get out the door in time. I got caught up in the crowd. And just about the time I thankfully reached the back door to make my escape, I felt a big hand on my shoulder. And I turned around, and the preacher was standing right there looking down at me. And he looked at me and he said, whose son are you? Whose boy are you? The old man said, I felt the weight come on me. It was like a big black cloud of gloom. Even the preacher was putting me down. And the old man said, but then the preacher began to smile at me. And the preacher said this, wait a minute. I know you. In fact, I see the family resemblance in you. You're a son of God. And with that, the preacher slapped me across the back and said, boy, you've got a great inheritance in your daddy. Go claim it. The old man looked across the table at Fred Craddock, wiped a tear from his eye, and he said, that is the most important sentence anyone ever said to me in my life. And with that, he shook his hand and moved on to the next table. It was later that evening, as Fred Craddock was thinking, Ben Hooper, that name does sound a little bit familiar. And then it suddenly dawned on him, Ben Hooper was the governor of the state of Tennessee. Folks, God had taken a born out of wedlock, we would say illegitimate child, in Ben Hooper, saved him, and brought him up, and even made him governor of the state of Tennessee. wants to do the same for all of us. Doesn't matter who your earthly father is. I'll leave you with this question. Whose child are you? Are you God's child? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the simple testimony of a man like Ben Hooper. A man who, God, was accepted by you as your child into your house. Father, I thank you that you adopted me as your child. And Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to make sure in our heart of hearts that we belong to you. Lord, search us. Do we have an empty, dead religion? Or are we really your child? Bless this invitation now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.